Exodus chapter 3 is where our message comes from today. The verses that we read, but particularly verses 1 through 5 this morning. A look at the burning bush, and perhaps a look that we have never given it before. It was natural for God to reveal Himself to Moses. After all, think about the task that Moses was going to be faced with. And so it was natural for God to reveal Himself to Moses, but at the same time, God revealed Himself in a very supernatural manner. One day, as Moses was working as a shepherd, and this that he'd been doing for many, many years, most people don't think of Moses as the shepherd, but nonetheless, he spent as many years as a shepherd as he did leading God's people. And so Moses was out working. The job that he'd been doing for years upon years. Just as you all this past week have been tending to your secular and worldly responsibilities. And coupled with that is all their tendencies to take up all our time and attention. Moses was engaged in a worthy work, tending the flocks of his father-in-law. And as he led them, that flock, over ground that no doubt he had traveled over time and time again, land that was well traveled by him and very familiar, suddenly the calm and quiet and lonely place where he was at, a wonderful event took place. A wonderful sight came upon him. An amazing revelation of God. And in that place and at that time came a change of direction in the life of Moses and in the life of God's people. At that point, Moses was quickly brought to see that there is much more to our lives than our daily work, our daily tasks, our temporal cares and concerns. That there is much more to life than just a day's work. What happened? At that bush, God was there. The personal God who personally addressed Moses. It's interesting. As Moses turned aside, verse 4, God spoke to him and he said, "Moses, Moses." Now, no, that's not earth-shaking, perhaps, unless it were you and you heard him say your name. Has it ever set you on edge where you're walking out of a place and somebody calls your name and you look and you say, "I've never seen this person before. How does that person know my name?" I used to have fun behind the parts counter when people would come in from different companies and they'd be wearing their work uniform, and more often than not, they had their name on their shirt. So I said, "Hey, Bob, glad you came." And he said, "How'd you know my name?" Well, but when someone calls our name and we're not expecting it, that must have been how it was for Moses. He's walking by, he sees the bush. The bush is on fire, yet the bush is not burning. And from the midst of that, he hears a voice. And the voice says, "Moses, Moses." Now, God didn't say his name just one time, but he said it twice. Now, you could say, well, sure, that got his attention. But it also shows kindness and familiarity, as well as to try to make Moses more attentive. It shows us that it was a personal God who personally addressed this man. He knew Moses by name, and he repeats that name to teach him that fact. And here, God is about to change Moses' life, his present, and his future. So let us also see that this day can also be a day when God will mightily reveal Himself, where God will change lives. Though we may ourselves be feeling that we have been traveling the same desert ground spiritually over and over and over, sometimes God's people feel spiritually dead. Nothing's happened in a long time. And think of Moses 40 years tending, going around the same places all the time. Moses came to the Mount of God, a holy place, as he would be told. Moses, take off the sandals from thy feet, because the place where art thou stand is holy. So we too now have come to a holy place. Some might say, well, you know, this grand and glorious vision of God, it only happened one time. It happened to this man. And by that, also, let me tell you too, that I'm probably too old at this point to receive any such thing as that from God. But would you forget that Moses was well advanced in years when God appeared to him in this bush? Many long years Moses had trudged around the area to find all as it was before. He wasn't looking for change. He wasn't really looking for God. He was just keeping sheep. And then one day, at one particular moment, he lifted up his eyes and there was God. And from that came new life and new direction for Moses. Some of you have been coming to this place for more than 40 years. Same days. Sunday, Wednesday. Walking the same spiritual path. In the same familiar environs. Same windows. Same lights. Same color walls, same paneling, same people. A sameness. Every single time it seems to be the same. And what happens is there's a rut that develops. You say, well, this is how it's going to be today. I can almost predict it. No great encounters with God. Some may be saying, life has not turned out like I thought it would. Think of Moses for a minute. Where was Moses raised? He wasn't raised as a peasant. Moses was raised like a son of Pharaoh. Had every possible advantage you could imagine. Was extremely well educated. The Egyptians were fantastic at their education policies. They really worked hard to educate, especially the nobility. Moses, who could have put in a request for any kind of food that he wanted, any kind of place to stay that he wanted, any amount of servants that he wanted. And yet, where do we find him now? What's he employed as? A shepherd. Now we know about shepherds. They're not held in the highest esteem. Never have been. There was never a time when any parent was really delighted to hear when his child walked up and they said, hey, what are you going to do for a living? Well, I'm going to be a shepherd. Oh, they were happy to have him to help to tend the flock that they had, perhaps, yeah. But if you weren't one and then said you were going to become one, I was talking to a fellow once who worked pumping out septic tanks. Now, there's not much of a less appealing job than anybody could possibly have, I would imagine. And we're talking there, and he said, I know some people look at my job and say, that must be a nasty, smelly job. He said, but I enjoy doing my job because I know in what I'm doing, I'm helping people. And not everybody wants to do it, so I do it. And you know, while he is out there cleaning out a septic tank one day, God can speak to him. But here's Moses, raised in the palace with all the privileges. Now, years and years of keeping sheep. Where's the glory? No glory in my soul, no heavenly wonder in my heart. For that reason, we turn to this passage and begin where Moses began. Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. Yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why, the bush is not burned up. And just a little aside to those of you who might, at some times when you're by yourself, talk to yourself. Well, Moses was about doing it at that time. So, I must now turn aside and see this marvelous sight. When? I must now do it. Now, that three-letter word is so very important in the understanding of what is taking place. Because Moses is in the business of taking care of sheep. He's working. And yet while he's working, this appearance from God comes and he says, I must now I must stop and look. The great vision and direction came when he turned aside from the normal course of work and preoccupation. I must turn aside for God to speak so I may hear. What if Moses had just, when he came upon the bush, said, this is really amazing, but I got to keep at this. You know how sheep are. They can scatter and all. I've got to stay at the task. I've got no time for it now. I've got to keep these sheep moving. I'm just too busy to take time to look at this bush right now. Or what if Moses had been like so many today? So very happy with natural explanations for everything that happens. Moses comes upon the bush. It's burning. Well, when I checked Doppler radar a little while ago, it did not show any lightning strikes. But I must have missed something. There must have been some kind of thunderstorm, some kind of lightning in the air, because what else would set the bush on fire? There obviously has to be a natural explanation for this bush to be burning. But the thing of it is what got to Moses is, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why? Why what? Why the bush isn't burned up? It's not only unusual to be out there in the midst seeing a bush burning, but then on top of that, it's not being consumed. Could have easily been a case where, the bush is burning, but there's nothing around it, no threat of a fire spreading, so I got to get back to work. But no matter how old Moses was, he still had the ability to open his eyes and see wonderful sights. And we need also to open our eyes. And there's not one here to say, oh no, not me. I see God in everything. I see His work everywhere. Not a single one can say that. In fact, if anything, we all need to have a time of confession and say, God, we are falling into the trap of accepting natural explanations for every single thing. The world is not done, and you are not done. So what works in Moses to get him to the bush? Simple trait, curiosity. I've now got to turn aside and see this thing. Why? Well, it's not being consumed. It's burning, but it's not being consumed. I wish I could find some trees like that. You could put them in the wood stove and the wood would just burn and burn and not be consumed. That'd be a great deal. Curiosity, a human thing, and God pulled Moses in by that little thread. I must turn aside now. When did you last say that? I must turn aside now. Too often we say, I'll turn aside later. Moses, my friends, got out of the rut. He turned aside and encountered God for himself. I wonder something. As Moses walked by and he saw the bush, and the bush is burning, but it's not being consumed. I wonder if there was somebody else walking by at the same time and they looked at the bush if they see a burning bush. So why would you wonder something like that? Well, if you turn to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12 and verse 27, Jesus is speaking and speaking about the what awaits him, what is about to come, especially his death. And in verse 27 of John chapter 12, Jesus says, "Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came out of heaven. "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it thundered. And others were saying, an angel has spoken to him. You see, in and amidst that group, even though God spoke, some did not hear. And as they heard this sound, they went to a naturalistic kind of explanation. It thundered. That's all it was. And yet, it was God speaking the great endorsement of His only begotten. Some heard God speak, some didn't. How true that is today. Not everybody sees the burning bush. We can easily become like scientists. Say, well, what are you throwing off on scientists for? We need scientists. A scientist can pick up a handful of dirt and in a short period of time tell you what kind of dirt it is, where it came from, what's the ingredients, what decomposed to make that kind of dirt, that kind of idea, what it's made up of. They can tell you all kinds of different facts about it. Or they can come upon the bush, look at its shape, look at its leaves, tell you how it grew. But a bush burning, being on fire? No. That's just your eyes playing tricks on you. And from that kind of thinking, God withdraws Himself. The moment we start taking what He does and try to give other explanations for it, God withdraws. Those who can explain the world's existence and events and try to give wholly naturalistic reasons are blind as bats. It'd be interesting if somebody came to Moses later on that day said, "Moses, you didn't see a bush on fire. I walked by that bush, and there it was, just like it's always been. Not even the slightest singe on it." Well, I would think that that hot temper that Moses was known for would be fueled by such a statement. And he would say, "You lie." "Oh no, I went by it, Moses, and I saw that there was no flame." Moses said, "What does that matter? I saw the flame." See, too many are not able to see God in nature, in science, or even the Bible anymore. But nature is everywhere full of burning bushes. But we hurry on and miss them. And so we see even less and less. There is something more to behold in everything. There is something more to behold in everything. Take our own bodies, for example. Our own bodies. They're like burning bushes. How's that? Have you ever considered that? Consider for a moment. There's the body, the physical, natural kind of thing. It's material. Someone standing here, you can touch them. You see with your eyes the physical presentation. And yet at the same time... Here, Dirk, stand up. It's time for show and tell. Look. You see him? Hear that? That's a body right there. Is he alive? Are you alive?
Breathing a bit, yeah.
How do you know he's alive? What's he made of? So he gets his life from the flesh. Oh, so there's a whole other dimension to him that you can't see. You can sit down, thanks. But oh no, we see people every day. Oh, it's just people. And yet, inside, every person is the metaphysical, non-material, life-animating force that you cannot see, behold, measure at all. You can't x-ray it. The heart pumps. Blood circulates, the brain functions. But none of that says, "I am." What gives us our real identity? It's the very thing that cannot be measured by machines or perceived by the natural elements. The bush was physical, it was real, yet what couldn't be seen was that which made the bush burn. The Bible's the same way. Just physical words on a page. It's what's unseen that makes the Word come to life as we read it. The printing press doesn't give it life any more than the doctor's slap on the backside gives a baby life. The church is a burning bush. There's the building, the seats, the backsides that fill the seats. It's a physical. And yet you can have all these things and have no life whatsoever. It's what is working unseen. You know, what separates this gathering today from the Kiwanis Club, from the Knights of Columbus, from any other group that might get together? What separates that? What separates us from that? What separates us from that is an unmeasurable force. The Lord in this place makes the difference. The Lord in the bush made it burn. And the Lord in you causes you to differ from all others out there. Paul asked the question, "What makes you to differ from another?" And the answer is, Christ in us. hope of glory. The word, just printing, that's all it is. It's the presence of God that makes it the Word of God as we read it. And no other book in the world can make that claim. Just the Bible, not the Quran. Not any of the other Eastern mystical writings. It's just this Word, this book that can make that claim. And so, my friends, I'd be saying, well, what are you asking us to see today? Are you asking us to go on our way back to where we live and look on the side of the road to see any kind of burning bush? Is that what you're wanting us to see? Not at all. I want you to see that there is more to what is there than just what meets the eye, and stop being so quick to take natural explanations for everything, because every time we do that, God withdraws. If that's what you want, then He says, then you may have that. But if we look for Him, we will find Him, because He promised, I will be found if you look for Me. It's when we begin to get in that rut where we tread the same path over and over and over again. When we stop looking with any kind of eyes of expectancy. That we begin to fall victim to any kind of natural explanation for anything that comes our way. Help us then to see beyond what our eyes are presented with. Let's stand together for prayer.